Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. March 21st, 2019. Thank you for joining me yet again. As if we needed any more examples that the U.S. political system is seemingly working full steam for a foreign nation, and it's not Russia, Trump has said it is time for the U.S. to basically give the Golan Heights to Israel, which it's not theirs to give away, and it's not even theirs to recognize any other group's sovereignty over this. It is Syrian sovereign territory, but now we're getting into the territory where Trump himself is speaking out in favor of more actions that are working towards the goals of a foreign nation. Every single thing we've seen happen so far under this administration, I should point out, as well as the 116th Congress, has been in favor of a foreign nation. And again, it's not Russia. France is now going to be banning certain radical yellow vest protests. And of course, that's left up to their opinions, and is also planning on using military forces against the yellow vests this coming weekend. And of course, Yemen is worse off now than before the supposed ceasefire that the Saudis have continually been breaking as the U.S. points to the other direction. But first, to begin, before we get into all of that, some breaking news from Venezuela that many of you might have already seen. And this is something that is going to be used by the United States to basically justify further action. At the very least, coming from Zero Hedge, Guaido's chief of staff detained by Venezuelan intelligence in pre-dawn raid. Now, this is something we've likely all seen coming, clearly. I mean, they're within their rights to detain Guaido himself. But the reality is they chose not to because they knew that that was what the U.S. wanted. So they could use that as the excuse to say, oh, what an evil dictator. What an evil dictator that allows massive anti-Maduro protests to go on all around the country. What an evil dictator that allows a large portion of the media to regularly print information that basically regurgitates U.S. talking points. Oh my God, what an obvious dictator. But the reality is I think they took this step to basically make a statement without taking the larger step of taking Guaido himself. Regardless, we can count on the U.S. using this for their agenda. And it wasn't just his chief of staff that's been taken, but also understand that these people have been organizing and effectively carrying out an aggressive regime change, a coup against the government. Imagine what Donald Trump would do with anybody doing that in this country, and especially their chief of staff. Something to consider. Now, just 2 days after, you know, self-appointed U.S.-backed opposition leader Juan Guaido's non-existent government forcibly took the possession of three diplomatic facilities in the United States, which we recently talked about, of course, with the blessing of Washington, and following what many observers speculate are a series of U.S. aggressive maneuvers paving the way for military intervention, and it seems likely, Maduro's security forces have begun arresting members of Guaido's staff. Now, according to Reuters, Venezuelan intelligence agents have arrested and detained Guaido's own chief of staff, Roberto Marrero, as well as opposition legislator Sergio Vergara. Now, Guaido's press team confirmed the detentions, so it has happened, in what's been described as a pre-dawn raid on their residences this morning. Now, Guaido tweeted an alert saying the two men are currently being held hostage. Of course, trying to frame this as some kind of an illegal act, even though we're talking about the legitimate government legitimately arresting someone who is illegally trying to overthrow the government. But that's not how the U.S. or their media lapdogs would want you to see this. Now, President Nicolas Maduro and his officials have repeatedly threatened to arrest both Guaido and his staff following his return last month from neighboring U.S. ally Colombia, where he met with U.S. Vice President Mike Pence. Colombia being one of the countries that is in far worse shape, both homeless and hunger and everything going on in Colombia is way worse than what we're seeing in Venezuela, but they don't want you talking about that either. But understand that this is about just specifically Guaido violating a Supreme Court mandate of them, not him not being able to leave. They're within their rights to arrest all these people simply for all the illegal actions they've been carrying out. But this is specifically something that they warned that the Supreme Court handed down, and he violated it by going to Colombia. And it says, quote, he can leave and come back and will have to see the face of justice because justice and had prohibited him from leaving the country. And he has to respect the laws. This is Maduro speaking with ABC News in an interview last month. And this is because of his actions, and they handed this down and said, and of course the U.S. doesn't think any of this is legitimate because they pretend in their fantasy world that this person that they just arbitrarily deemed president is the person in charge. Even though we just laughingly talked about Elliot Abrams' very hard to watch press briefing where he was unable to explain why Guaido is actually the president. Now, as he has no power, no control, and nobody behind him, interesting. But meanwhile, Trump administration officials have, of course, threatened severe repercussions against anybody that dares to touch Guaido or anybody involved. So we can guarantee that the U.S. will use this, and it will probably fail because it's not enough. It's not Guaido, but they will use this to force more action. So we can guarantee that this will be coming, just like they've tried to use everything else. But remember all the stuff that we've seen so far. All of the fabrications, all of the fake humanitarian aid that the United Nations and the Red Cross and basically everybody has said is fake. Remember the burning the trucks where we found out that it was actually Guaido's forces, and yet Bolton, Pompeo, and everybody else still ridiculously maintained that it was Maduro, even though we have evidence and even the mainstream media has produced it. All the lies they've continued to force. Think about that as we go forward with this event. And I think it's clear that they're failing. And I think that, in my opinion, is why I feel nervous about the fact that this will be used for a military action. But we'll be here to report on it as it happens, so make sure you stay tuned with that. But speaking of, you know, other countries actually doing things much, much worse than what they want you to think Venezuela is doing, but actually is not, this coming from Middle East Monitor in regard to Israel. Of course, we're speaking about Israel. Officials, U.S. will recognize Israel's sovereignty over Golan Heights next week. Now, this is coming from Israeli officials saying this yesterday, I believe, or technically yesterday into today, that they somehow are psychic and can tell that they know is U.S. officials are going to be doing something, which is, again, interesting how they always seem to know somehow. I wonder how they manage to know what U.S. politicians are about to do. I wonder. I'm sure you can work that out for yourself. But senior Israeli officials have reported that the United States may be preparing to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Syrian Golan Heights and suggested that the announcement could occur as early as next week. Gosh, they must be psychic to see how these things are coming. Now, the senior Israeli official stated that they believe the Trump administration is planning to formally recognize Israel's authority over the occupied Golan Heights after decades of non-recognition by the U.S. and basically everyone else. Everyone basically continuing to maintain that, yeah, that's Syrian's territory that Israel's illegally occupying. Now, the Golan Heights, of course, was illegally occupied by Israel during the Six-Day War in 1967 from the Syrian army. Now, since then, the area has been recognized as highly strategic in maintaining Israel's dominance over the Syrian border. Wonder why it's so important. Of course, we also have to include all the oil that's being illegally taken and the water being used by Israel that's very important to them while they've had one of the worst droughts in their history in recent years. All that, of course, plays a factor, but most importantly, that it's important, it's strategically important. So they just took it because that's what they do. Illegally occupy land, similar to their allies. Now, Israel administered the Heights through military law until 1981. So by their own admission, a military occupation forcing military martial law on the area until 1981, in the same way in which it administers the same martial law and control over the West Bank and Gaza. Now, before forcefully applying Israeli law and effectively annexing the territory into the Israeli state after this. Now, this is, again, illegally occupying territory, forcing them under your rule. And, you know, and just and regardless of what anybody has to say, the United Nations has roundly refused to said very clearly this is not Israeli territory. Now, the United Nations and the vast majority of the international community, including the United States and the entirety of the European Union, have until now refused to recognize Israel's annexation and sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Funny how they always talk about sovereignty when it applies to their territory, but they seem to just disregard sovereignty with just in, you know, casual fashion in regards to anybody that they usually that they frame as one of their adversaries. Now it's saying that this is exclusively that this is going that basically that nobody up until this point has recognized that this is anything but Syrian territory until now, however. Now, despite the obviously illegal nature of Israeli claim to the land and the fact that basically everyone acknowledges it as such, the Trump administration's aggressively pro-Israel policies make it very clear what they're about to do. But this bill is already in the process. It's just simply waiting on the House to pass it, which I guarantee Trump will as well. So we're just a couple steps away from it, from our own Congress acknowledging that somehow this Israel has claim to land that it's illegally occupying, which is unbelievable. Now, this is once again siding with Israel's agenda over the international community and over American interests, regardless of how shockingly illegal and just immoral the Israeli agenda is in this area. showing us yet again that when Israel barks an order, the U.S. government seems to rush to fall in line. Just look at what has been carried out by the Trump administration so far. Unbelievable. Everything we're talking about Jerusalem, everything they're doing in U.S. foreign policy today is almost entirely for Israel's goals. This is a simple fact. Or look at what the 116th Congress has put forward so far. The Anti-Semitism Act, the anti-BDS law, making an anti-Semitism ambassador, the fighting anti-Semitism around the world, all these countless bills they put forward while the U.S. people, or the American people, are in desperate need of some real change, and their bills are roundly passed in favor of Israel. How do people that only watch mainstream media not acknowledge this? Almost entirely in favor of Israel. And almost entirely disconnected from anything the American people actually want or need. So think about that. At a meeting between U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Netanyahu in Jerusalem just yesterday, the Israeli premier accused Iran, of course it's Iran, of aiming to set up a Hezbollah cell to target Israel from the Golan Heights. Funny how every time they start to lose control of a narrative, oh, well, Iran's there. Oh, bad Iran. Iran's bad guy, so it's all good. We can all just ignore all the facts and all of our common sense and say just because you claim Iran is there, then anything you do is okay. This is the stupid, childish narrative that they really want you to grasp a hold of. They're claiming that Israel's sovereignty of the territory they're illegally occupying is for its security. Of course. Of course it is. God, it's laughable. Now, if the U.S. does officially recognize Israel's sovereignty over their illegally occupied Golan Heights area, it will coincide with President Donald Trump's meeting, interestingly, with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu during the annual conference of the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee in Washington, otherwise known as AIPAC. So literally while he's about to meet with them is while this decision, I wonder why that's so interestingly corresponding. Now, as if to make my point for me, like literally as I was going through this information today, as if to literally make my point, before I could even go live with the previous story, Trump rushed out to stand with Israel on this illegal land grab. Now, I actually found I had my breaking news app that it showed me, but now this is all over. Trump says, of course, if really think about this, that Israel comes out and says maybe in a week and possible, and Trump comes out immediately. Time for the U.S. to recognize Israel's sovereignty of the Golan Heights. Oh, thank you for rushing to the stage to scream about something that has nothing to do with Americans. Pulling on the leash, and he rushes to speak out. Think about that. I mean, it's alarming. I mean, so Israeli officials speak out about how they, believe that Trump may recognize Israel's illegitimate claim to the Golan Heights within the next week, they say, and not even a few hours after that's stated. Trump speaks out about exactly this. I mean, come on, people. We have to recognize this. Who's really in charge here? I mean, this is ridiculous. Meanwhile, we have the United Nations producing reports showing without a doubt that the Israeli government is killing innocent protesters that we recently talked about. We have the UN publicly urging the Israeli government to stop shooting unarmed protesters, which we just talked about. Thank you for the super chat. I love how the UN, the UN with proof of crimes, they're just urging, please, Israel, stop committing crimes that we can't hold you accountable for. It's ridiculous. So we have the report showing you over the long period of time all of the people they've killed, them urging them outright stop killing unarmed protesters. You know, exactly the circumstances they claimed were enough to justify the illegal U.S. actions against, Assad and many others. Tear gas, militarized enforcement, and firing on protesters. Interesting. Even though those were the propagandized Western lies in regard to Assad. But I guess these actions are only regime change worthy when it's a U.S. adversary. Just, again, to always point out the ridiculous hypocrisy in this topic. We're always, always about U.S. adversaries. But we have Israeli occupation forces arresting Palestinians for Facebook posts. By just May of last year, Israel had arrested more than 500 Palestinians, including women and children, as a result of their social media posts. Funny how we're quickly becoming similar. In December of last year, the Legal Center for Arab Minority Rights in Israel accused media giants of actually collaborating with Israel authorities to censor user content. Big surprise. It's important to also understand that according to official data, in 2016, the Israeli cyber unit created specifically to monitor Palestinian social media posts, interesting how that works, submitted 2,241 content removal requests, of which 69% were you know, dutifully removed. In 2017, they submitted a massive number of 12,351 content removal requests, 85% of which were, you know, dutifully removed. Thank you, Facebook, Twitter, and Google, for just, you know, bowing down to who's clearly in charge here. We also have Palestinians trying to peacefully protest the killing of three other peaceful protesters and, of course, getting shot for it. And not just shot, but tear gas, sound bombs for protesting. It's just ridiculous. And, of course, for those that think all of this is, you know, fake news or propaganda or biased reporting, here is a past video that simply cannot be misunderstood.
מימוני, בוא לפה, בוא לפה, בוא לפה, בוא לפה.
יש שם ילד קטן.
לתת?
לא.
איך הוא מתגופף תמיד בדיוק שנוקחים? לא ברוד, אני על הכחול אני.
וואי, זה סרטון! יש! בן של זונה. איזה סרטון, הנה, תרוצו לפנות אותו. בטח שצילמתי את זה.
וואו, פגעו לי מישהו בראש.
איזה סרטון אגדה.
איזה סרטון, מה לא ראיתי את זה, אחי?
וואו, אביב, עם הרגל כזה.
הוא גירד את הרגל, הוא גירד את הרגל, הוא היה לו ברגל השנייה.
חוי הבני זונות.
Yes, yes, what a fabulous video. This is IDF soldiers cheering about shooting an unarmed child standing in the middle of a field. There's really no way to misunderstand this. I mean, it's really hard to misunderstand what that video shows. The subtitles are correct, but even without them, as somebody may argue that they're misinterpreting them, we see a boy standing still, being targeted, shot, and then his death cheered. I mean, really, the saddest part is that this is nothing new. This is a daily occurrence for those living in apartheid-occupied Palestine. You have to really try hard to ignore what's happening. You have to really put in some effort to not see the reality of the situation. Now, since we are discussing the absurdly obvious U.S. government and mainstream media double standard on which government-sanctioned violent protests they choose to condemn, of course, for our next story, coming from Zero Hedge, we'll talk about what seems to be one of the largest and most violent protests happening that's being utterly ignored on a regular basis. Coming from Zero Hedge, France to ban yellow vest protests in neighborhoods with ultra-radicals. Of course, we're left to just assume that, you know, that's up to them to decide what they deem ultra-radicals. But of course, this ties in with this very same concept of using agent provocateurs to give them the justification to do, I don't know, to ban protests, to use the military. Clearly, I mean, we have to recognize that this is part of the agenda. There are people that become violent because the crowd gets caught up in violence. But the reality is this is clearly being created so they can shut it down, exactly like we've been warning and exactly like they're now doing. Banning protests because of the ultra-radicals that they're creating. Now, France is cracking down on yellow vest protesters following a weekend of renewed violence that we've pointed out repeatedly is almost entirely due to agent provocateurs caught on film. Now, as the Macron administration announced on Monday that it would ban demonstration in several areas of France if the ultra elements are present, according to the Interior Minister, Edouard Philippe. Now, understand, as we pointed out before, the ability to just say, well, those are the ultra radical groups we're talking about. You know, they simply send out their agent provocateurs, smash some windows, break some things and go, oh, there they are. There's the ultra radicals. Everyone gets shut down, banning everything. You're all under arrest. This is how this operates. Now, we have to remember that I actually just showed the video of all of the agent provocateurs running after the ambulance in one of my previous shows. It's all the people in black. It's none of the yellow vests. It's very easy to see if you just simply choose to look at it. Now, this ban will apply to, as they say, neighborhoods that have been most affected as soon as we have knowledge of the ultras. Again, just left up to them to decide. Felipe added, we will proceed to the immediate dispersal of all groups, it says. So that's interesting. So we're coming out of one side of the mouth saying only the ultra-radical ones, but then he's simply saying we're going to proceed to the immediate dispersal of all the groups. Everybody. So one person throws something and breaks something, everyone's getting shut down. That is how this works. The Yellow Vest movement is terrifying to them because it's working, because they refuse to be taken over by some leading movement that's going to lead them in a very politicized direction. People are joining this movement because we can see the real problem, and this really scares them. That's why they're trying to shut it down. Now, Philippe added that he had asked the state judicial agent to, quote, systematically seek the financial responsibility of troublemakers. You know, putting financial fines on people that are, you know, this again, send out their agent provocateurs, break something, and then fine everybody for the price of it. Now, Macron said over Twitter that strong decisions were coming to prevent more violence after they created it. It says, Macron said some individuals dubbed black blocs, interesting how they even use the same term we acknowledge, their groups, by French police forces, were taking advantage of the protests by the Yellow Vest grassroots movement to damage the Republic, to break, to destroy. Now, it seems to sound like they're trying to take the side like, oh, we know it's not you. Trust me, we're going to attack only the ultra-radicals. But it's obvious they've taken these moves to shut down the entirety of the protests. And it's blatant. And to make that even more obvious, the next article coming from the anti-media entitled France to deploy military against next round of Yellow Vest protests. So obviously, this is not just about a small radical group. This is about shutting down the protests. And now they're going as far as to use military. We're talking martial law, regardless of whether they want to call it this or not. We're talking about militarizing the streets to shut down peaceful protests because of groups that we can prove were put out by agents of unrest. People that are their job is to go out and create violence. And Vanessa Bealey is the great example. She was there. I had her on. We discussed this. She saw with her own eyes countless examples of agent provocateurs and of the Yellow Vest rounding up and saying, no, 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 these guys, get them out of here. They're not part of this. That's the point, that it's peaceful. And they can't have that because they can't shut that down. Now, in an effort to clamp down on the unraveling security situation, as they call it, which has lately seen, of course, banks, residential buildings torched, luxury stores and restaurants vandalized and destroyed, the French authorities have announced the deployment of anti-terrorism military forces in order to protect and secure public buildings. But of course, because this is, you know, oh, wait a minute, that doesn't look like Yellow Vest to me. That looks like Black Bloc, the very people they're talking about. Right, but now we're talking, they're laying all of these buildings and all these vandalized areas at the feet of the Yellow Vest, even though they acknowledge the opposite. Now, following the increased violence of the past weekend, after, of course, President Macron's failed great debate, the government will redirect counter-terror troops from Operation Sentinelle to focus on Yellow Vest-related threats. Now, again, see how their own narrative going from Black Bloc to now it's clearly Yellow Vest-related. There's about the Yellow Vests, and they're now using anti-terrorism military forces to shut down these groups. Operation Sentinelle began in January 2015, of course, after a series of al-Qaeda-linked supposed terrorist acts that began with the infamous Charlie Hebdo shooting, which if you're not familiar with, I recommend you dive into. This resulted in some 10,000 soldiers and 4,700 police deployed at sensitive sites in public buildings across the country. I wonder if that was intentional. Now, according to Bloomberg, French authorities have sought to calm the obvious and immediate fears raised that the move constitutes a government taking full martial law approach of sending the military against its own people. No, 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 don't worry, people. This is not martial law, even though it's exactly what martial law is. They're just trying to placate people and say, no, it's only about these radicals. Don't worry about the military marching through your streets. Now, following a weekly cabinet meeting on Wednesday, government spokesman Benjamin Grivier pointed to the, quote, new forms of violence Saturday, which he said justifies deploying the counter-terror forces. Interesting. Exactly. Problem, reaction, solution. They put out the agent provocateurs. They point to the new acts of violence, which then justifies their action. Weird how that works. Individuals have decided to attack democracy and its symbols, Grivier says. Of course, by attacking a bunch of luxury shops and restaurants by agent provocateurs, that's attacking democracy and symbols. It's ridiculous. These same arguments are always used by these same faux democracies. Oh, they're attacking our democracy. This is ridiculous. And that's the point. These people are fighting for democracy. And these very oligarchs are the ones trying to shut it down. Same, it's the same as the fake humanitarian guys around the world. These people are villains. Now, noting the different nature of the latest unrest compared to that of months ago when the demonstrators first began in November, he asserted, quote, "These are not demonstrators, but rioters. And distinction is very different. Demonstrations, of course, are protected by the law. Rioting is not. Oh, well, thank you for that very interesting difference. Except the fact that demonstrations being announced, and of course, inherently nonviolent, as we've seen, were met with violence from the police. That's why they stopped announcing their protest. Clearly, demonstrations are not protected by law. It's nice, pretty things, you can say, but the reality on the ground shows a very different situation. And the point, again, always comes back to the agent provocateurs being used to be able to say, look, oh, now they're rioting. Oh, our hands are tied. We have to go out and violently stop these people, even though they've been violently stopping even the peaceful protesters, as has been roundly proven 1,000 times over. It's shocking. It really needs to be shocking for the average person to see the steps that they're taking. And this is the kind of thing that, of course, if was done in an adversary country, would be all over the news. It would be regime change worthy. But of course, when it's in Israel, when it's in France, you know, we don't talk about that. Good job, mainstream media. Way to be dutifully, you know, bowing down to the oligarchy force that you're supposed to be holding accountable. See, that's why people like myself have a job, because you guys are pathetic. So hopefully people are beginning to see all this stuff because they're just simply lapdog establishment media. Now, on the same topic of them failing to report on the most important things going on in the world, you know, which they claim is their job, this coming from Middle East Monitor in regard to Yemen. Of course, because, yeah, that's still happening. The worst humanitarian crisis in the world they refuse to talk about, still happening. And guess what? It's worse than ever. And they're still not talking about it. Trump ally reiterates U.S. support for Arab coalition in Yemen. Of course, Pompeo already doubled down. Even had the nerve to say, oh, if you actually care about Yemeni people, you should be supporting Saudi Arabia. He had the nerve to actually say that out loud. Like, I don't know how these people sleep at night. But this is worse. Now he's doubling down and, of course, pointing to the Houthis as the ones responsible for everything. Because that's what they do. They just blatantly lie to you and hope that you blindly listen to them. Now, the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has reiterated their support, the U.S. support for this, the U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition annihilating everybody that lives in Yemen. Now, Pompeo made the remarks during a meeting with the U.N. envoy to Yemen, Martin Griffiths, in Washington on Friday. Now, this was last week. Pompeo discussed with Griffiths efforts to implement the Sweden agreements, particularly the redeployments in Hodeida, the exchange of prisoners, and the next steps in the political process. You know, implement these agreements that the Houthis have continually taken steps to do and that the Saudis continually disregard and continue to bomb. But of course, they just continue to say, yeah, let's just keep it going. Let's just keep trying to make this happen that our people and our forces are the ones stopping. It's, you know, you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. It's ridiculous. This is what they do, though. Pompeo also expressed concern about the opposition Houthis, of course, quote, deliberate delay to obstruct the process in implementing the Stockholm Agreement, stressing on the need for the parties to honor the commitments they made in Sweden and to continue working to advance the political process. What a great, pretty-sounding quote, Mike Pompeo, except the fact that it's been roundly proven by the UN's own admissions that the Houthis have been the one participating and the Saudis have continued to bomb and murder and kill, with your support, of course, Mike Pompeo. But see, they don't want you to talk about this. This is why the media fails to cover it, because it's ridiculously transparent. And anybody with the smallest amount of ability to type things on a computer can very quickly recognize that it's obvious that the Saudis have continually broken the deal. But they again hope you will just blindly listen to them and not do any due diligence. It says, quote, the support of allied efforts in Yemen, thank you for the super chat, is crucial. Of course, here we are again, is crucial to prevent Iran from extending its authority to rule from Tehran to the Mediterranean Sea and taking over the world, as Pinky and the Brain have always said, right? That's what they do. They're all taking over the world. It's that ridiculous. That's why I threw that in there. It's not only is it obviously not what's happening, but Iran has not attacked anybody since what, the late 1700s? While we have the country accusing them of threatening things around the world, currently occupying most of the world and conquering countries everywhere. It is absolutely disconnected from reality. But again, recognize the ridiculous nature of continually saying, oh, well, Iran's there, right? Yeah, oh, people are starting to pay attention to how badly we're ruining the country of Yemen. Oh, Iran's there. Oh, we're all good. Oh, we're about to illegally take land from Syria. Oh, Iran might be there. Oh, it's all okay. Venezuela, oh, we heard Iran might be there. Do you start to pick up on the ridiculous nature of their narrative? This is it, it's hollow. There's no evidence to suggest the fact that Iran is doing anything they claim. including creating nuclear weapons. And it's all easy for you to see, and the international community actually agrees. But they force their opinion, as in U.S. and Israel and Saudi Arabia and their small clutch of villains out there, the governments I'm talking about, and they stress that as the majority opinion, even though it's very clearly not. Now, Iran is always the focal point. Now, just remember that in all the discussions we're talking about, because all they have to do is just sidestep into Iran, and it all makes it okay. But the real crime is that because of their actions, being the U.S. and Saudi Arabia and the UAE and everybody involved in what's happening in Yemen, the situation has now gotten worse now than ever before the ceasefire. Now, funny how that works, because we're not talking, the Houthis aren't running around bombing people and killing their own people. They're attacking the Saudis when they try to take territory. So how can the situation possibly get that much worse because it's the Houthis violating the ceasefire? Think about that. It's the Saudis continually bombing and continually attacking with U.S. support, knowing U.S. support, during the ceasefire, taking advantage of it, as they always have. Thank you for the super chat. This coming from Mint Press News. Life in Yemen's Hodeidah now worse than before the ceasefire, as Saudis still intent on cities capture. Because that's what they're doing. They're using the ceasefire, as the U.S. has done in other locations around the world in the history of their U.S. foreign policy, using the fake peace talks and ceasefire to seize more territory. That's what they do. Thank you for the super chat. It says, you give me a bit of hope. Thank you, from Germany. That's nice to hear. I appreciate that. That's what we're here to do, is let people know that we can make change if we simply speak out and wake enough people up to what's actually going on. That's my job, is to show people what's going on enough to hopefully get them to jump into this and do their own research. Now, the Saudi-led coalition is reportedly trying to launch a new military campaign. You know, during the supposed ceasefire Pompeo would have you believe is being violated by the Houthis, mind you, against the strategic port of Hodeidah, the entry point for most of Yemen's commercial goods and vital aid. The very area they're blockading and stopping all the food and medicine and water. This is what they're doing. They're intentionally doing this. And it's been proven by the United Nations, but we're not supposed to talk about that. Now, the resumption of military activity by the coalition is seen as a blow to diplomatic efforts led by the United Nations to end the ongoing illegal invasion that mainstream media is currently utterly ignoring. Now, the Houthis have accused the United States and Britain of misleading the media on who is responsible for impeding the implementation of the ceasefire, saying that U.S. and British claims that the Houthis have stalled the agreement are completely false. Which, again, is backed up by the UN's own statements, but they don't include that. After meeting with Danish General Michael Lausgaard, the new head of the United Nations mission to monitor Yemen's truce agreement, on Monday, Mohammed Ali al-Houthi said, the leader of the movement, the Houthis, said that the United States and Britain want to repeat failed attempts to take Hodeidah, which is backed up by the facts on the ground. Houthi leader Mohammed al-Houthi said of the claims, quote, threats issued by the United States Department of State and British Foreign Office, in addition to information available to us, indicate that the two countries, in addition to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, are working hard to repeat the Battle of Hodeidah by creating flimsy pretexts that differ with reality and with the Stockholm Agreement. Now, the Houthis have confirmed repeatedly that they are ready to implement the Stockholm Agreement unilaterally, regardless of whether the Saudis are involved, in order to alleviate the suffering of Yemenis, saying that they have notified the United Nations that they are ready to initiate a unilateral redeployment from Hodeidah, meaning moving the troops back. And they've done this, and the UN has acknowledged this in return multiple times. Now, to date, they have not even received a go-ahead to begin the redeployment from the United Nations. This is also verified, which is overseeing the deal's implementation. So as Pompeo points to them and saying, oh, they're delaying, they're continually saying, we're ready to do this, and we're going to take this action before they even acknowledge theirs, right? And they won't even say, yeah, go ahead and start. And they're the ones delaying as the Saudis continue to bomb and murder families. That is what's been happening. And the UN has noted numerous times, I mean, more times than I can even count so far, in which the Houthis have taken action in good faith. And the Saudis utterly abuse that. Of course, being ignored by the UN and the United States, or more aptly, willfully omitted, Saudi and UAE fighters have actually built new fortifications around Hodeidah and are conducting fresh military drills amid a, you know, steady flow of U.S.-backed coalition military reinforcements rolling into the city. Because clearly they want a ceasefire and they want to pull their troops back. That's why they would build new reinforcements around the close location and bring in more troops. That makes sense. All these indications, of course, that the coalition still intends to capture the city of Hodeidah. That is what they're trying to do. I mean, it's utterly obvious It's something we've seen repeatedly. I mean, how many times must we see this play out? The UN and US make absurd statements about wanting peace while their actions directly contradict this. The UN calls for action. The Houthis take action to pull back. The Saudis ignore it and continue to bomb and take advantage of the situation. The US then points to the Houthis, even though the UN acknowledged that they acted in good faith, and the whole process begins again. Pompeo stands up and says, yeah, the Houthis are bad and we're waiting for this and blah, blah, blah. How long has this been happening? How many examples have we seen of the Saudis bombing during the ceasefire? Or bombing buses full of children, or bombing food mills, or bombing water infrastructure, over and over and over. And how many times must people utterly ignore this? It really takes some effort. Now, local Hodeida residents have doubted the feasibility, as I assume I would if I was there, of the UN brokered agreement since it was first reached. Many see this truce as nothing more than a media spectacle that has done little to bring quiet to their country, and I agree with that. Instead of airstrikes, they actually say snipers, artillery shells, and missiles have now become the norm in their districts in Hodeida. Now, according to Yemen's army, the Saudi coalition, backed by the United States and allied militant groups, have violated the ceasefire at least 11,000 times. I mean, 11,000 violations during this, you know, so many months of this supposed ceasefire, since the supposed truce began, putting the rate of attacks in Hodeida almost equal, if not more, to the number of airstrikes carried out against the city before the ceasefire was even signed. So they're bombing more now than they ever were. I mean, really let that register. The Norwegian Refugee Council, which has been providing food, shelter, and other necessities in Yemen, has said that the ceasefire violations by the U.S.-backed coalition in Hodeida have risen despite the now three-month-old truce, reporting that sniper and explosive attacks have been growing despite the easing airstrikes. So as they pull back on airstrikes to make it less visible, they've increased their attacks in general. Now, the council also said that at least 348 civilians have been killed in just two provinces, more than double the nationwide number, excluding Hodeida, in the past 3 months during the supposed ceasefire. I mean, the coalition went on to say that 13 schools among the buildings attacked over the past 3 months, you know, during the ceasefire by the Saudi coalition, and that 80% of Yemen's population, 24 million people, right this moment still require humanitarian assistance. The human rights group estimate the toll could be other human rights groups estimate the toll could be much higher than that. Now, Yemen's Ministry of Public Health said in a press conference held in the capital, Sana'a, on Tuesday, that more than 10,000 children are dying every single year as a result of the ongoing war and the illegal invasion by the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition and their illegal blockade on Yemen in general, revealing that 50% of the health sector has been destroyed. Sure, I guess that we can all just count that to wayward missiles, huh? And 97% of remaining hospital equipment has exceeded its recommended lifespan as a result of the war and the blockade. So these people are suffering because of U.S. and Saudi actions, not because of Houthi delays. I mean, that is a very weak effort by the U.S. administration. They have nothing else they can do. This is, on its face, obvious what's actually happening. Now, most humanitarian groups say that since the ceasefire began, the lives of thousands of civilians in Yemen, especially in Hodeida, have actually gotten worse. So literally, since the supposed ceasefire, because of Saudi actions, it's gotten that much worse for the average person in Yemen. Think about that. The number of internally displaced people has actually increased to 3.3 million, according to the United Nations. That figure marks a sharp uptick from the 2.2 million recorded in previous years. Now, an estimated 360,000 children are still suffering right now from severe acute malnutrition. Thank you for the Streamlabs. I appreciate that. Streamlabs, better than doing it on YouTube. 360,000 children are suffering from severe acute malnutrition, fighting for their lives on a daily basis. This is according to the United Nations Security General Antonio Guterres. But of course, the U.S. just ignores this stuff when it makes them look bad. Now, Guterres revealed that, quote, one credible report put the number of children under 5 who have died of starvation at more than 80,000. This is coming directly from the Secretary General of the United Nations. At least probably 80,000 children, this is a credible report, under 5 years old that have died. 80,000. Think about that in regard to all the things they say about Venezuela or anywhere else. You cannot match these numbers. How can you justify the actions being taken in other places while this is happening on the ground in Yemen? With U.S. support on the ground. I mean, you just can't do that. This is why the media refused to talk about it, because it shows you the absurd contrast to them pretending to care about human life in other places. Now, since the war began in March 2015, at least 250,000 Saudi coalition airstrikes have hit non-military targets. 250,000, you know, accidental wayward missiles. That's a pretty big claim. 250,000 airstrikes have hit non-military targets, and at least 500,000 missiles and 600,000 cluster bombs have hit civilian targets. You know, the illegal cluster bombs that you shouldn't be using anyway, but interesting how that works. Same with the fact that they use white phosphorus, but we don't talk about that. It only matters when Assad, you know, they claim he does, even though he hasn't, in the cases they claim. I mean, it's all right in front of you. And the sad reality is, of all things we talk about, what's happening right here in Yemen is the worst thing you could possibly imagine, and the U.S. is 100% in support of it. As we just said, Pompeo doubled down. Even saying that we should support the Saudis if you care about all the people they're killing. Interesting how it worked. As Mohammed bin Salman, the leader of the country he's referring to, has openly said that we want to continue killing children because we want them to shiver when they hear the name Saudi Arabia. That was on record, ladies and gentlemen. But they really think that the American people, or anyone in general, are just too stupid to do the smallest amount of research to see the lies that they're putting forward. It is so important that we take the time today to research the claims, including the ones that I'm putting forward. That's why I include everything in the show notes, for you to look through the links yourself and do your research. Don't just listen to me. Take the initiative. Find the information. Challenge the status quo. Think for yourself. The time has come. Because they are floundering, and it's about to get a lot worse if we don't stand up and take responsibility for our own information. One of the tenets of true freedom, of true liberty, is self-determination. It needs to be done for yourself. Do not rely on anybody else to give you the information, to give you what you need to survive. It's on you to do so. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Always so much important stuff to get across every single day. I do my best to come to you every day as best I can to bring you everything that needs to be talked about, especially what they won't tell you. So be sure to tune in tomorrow for another show. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now, I know that standards have slipped over the last few years in Washington, but for a lawyer, you're remarkably cavalier with any idea of justice.